Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today, we're going to be talking about a Navy SEAL who is in the news because he's running for senator in Montana. And I wish that was it, but there's more to the story. And if it's involving a Navy SEAL, so I would imagine you guys know what we're going to be talking about, that some of his stories aren't exactly what the French call truthful. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the eclipse a little bit, and we're going to be talking about Love is Blind. There's some big news coming from Love is Blind. Cons is not a big Love is Blind head. I think I've watched everyone, to include the ones that are in different languages, that they have been subtitled. Did you know that, Cons?
I didn't know that. That's
France, abroad, Spain.
I watched the movie recently where they had that, and it's a little distracting once you start to take notice of it, in my opinion. So,
and I think with shows like that too, it's all about voice inflection. Tone of voice and hearing somebody on the opposite side of the wall is so important. And if you can't read that as the audience member, it's hard just to judge by facial expressions, because you give so much into the way that you say things. And let me just get the cat out of the bag. My voice is shot. Kate,
yeah, what's up? Down
to, what's that?
What's up with your voice? Why are you just sick? And this is a remnant?
I don't know.
I've
seen some news that there's a different type of virus, not coronavirus, but some kind of crud that's going around. I haven't had a voice since Thursday of last week, and have been coughing my brains out, exhausted all the time. I don't know what's going on, but that's what's up with my voice. So if you're hearing it, one, I'm in my kitchen. Two, Kate's not here. Her baby daddy, his dad's going through a rough time. So she had an emergency trip to South Carolina this weekend. So she'll hopefully be back next week, but you never know like that. So she's in our thoughts for sure. Today's show is going to be brought to you by our friends at Mad Rabbit. It is time for beach seasons coming up. And dude, I wish there was a product like this when I lived in Okinawa. And let me show you why. If you're not watching on Rumble or watching on YouTube, you're not going to see the shitty quality of my tattoos. A lot of my tattoos that I've had for 15, 16 years are just absolutely trash. They are so faded. They're so bad, but they, honest to God, could be my DD214. There's no chance that you have this tribal with USMC down the back. That should automatically have qualified me for a VA loan. just having those tattoos. When people come up to me and they say, "What tribe are you in?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" They're like, "Well, you got a tribal tattoo." It hurts my feelings, and it would hurt my feelings a lot less if I actually had good ones, but I don't. And it's peak beach season, and as you know what that means, my tattoos are in full view, including the one that embarrasses my wife on every single season when I'm at the beach, which is the Ronald McDonald tattoo on my ribs. I know you guys can't see me right now, but trust me, I'm feeling sad thinking about these. Did you know that 30% of Americans have two tattoos, 40% of people under 35? This podcast is sponsored by Mad Rabbit. Mad Rabbit is committed to reinventing the tattoo aftercare. It's founded by two friends with a passion for ink. Mad Rabbit creates a simple, effective, and natural product that helps improve and preserve your tattoos, all delivered directly to your door. Their hero product, which is called the Tattoo Bomb, sells at once every 90 seconds for a reason. It revitalizes, replenishes, and preserves tattoo ink with a clean and natural ingredients, and it's effective on both new and old tattoos. Oh, hell yeah, it's good on old ones. Maybe it'll revitalize some more. So whenever I'm 90, it will be what is that going on? It'll be look at my tattoos. If I don't start using it's going to look like that invisible ink stuff when it starts to go away. That's what it's going to look like, but not now, because I got Mad Rabbit. Now's the time to check it out. They've preserved over 3 million tattoos, and they've got an exclusive offer just for the ZBT listeners. If you go to madrabbit.com/ZBT25 and use the promo code ZBT25, you're going to receive 25% off. That's 25% off when you head to madrabbit.com/ZBT25 and use our promo code ZBT25. All right, the first thing I want to get into, and I know Love is Blind might have been a weird thing to start the show off with, but there was one of the reporters, a new reporter with the with Task and Purpose. She found out, got a scoop, I guess, from Netflix. I don't know where she got it from. She got a scoop from Netflix that Jessica Lachey, who was Nick Lachey's spouse, she said that there's going to be a new season of Love is Blind, which is one. It's a fit. Why don't you like that show? Kanji, don't like
it. Oh, it's not that I don't. It's not that I dislike it. I watched one episode and I was like, oh, okay, cool. But it's just, and this is nothing new, but there's just so much content out there right now. And and what I'm learning now, there is a really small window for TV watching for me and my wife, because we go from Maggie gets home from school, spending time with her, dinner, bath time, bedtime, and then she's in bed. And then by the time Alex can stay awake, there's a small window of time in there. And it just hasn't been one of the shows that we've put in our rotation. I mean, we just finished watching Buying Beverly Hills on Netflix, which was very good.
I've seen it.
You know, we watch all those real estate shows on Netflix. We have some shows on Bravo that we watch. We're currently doing
a rewatch. I'm surprised you still watch those now that you just bought a house and you're out of the house hunting biz. I'm surprised you're still in on that.
I love it. I love them even more now because, and I even look at Zillow freely every day. No free ads. Shout out, no free shout out. It's so much more relaxing to look at houses when you're not under the gun of trying to find a house yourself. So now you can just look at a house and be like, oh, that's cool. Or, oh, I like that house. And that's the end of it. It's not, can I afford this house? Is this house in a good neighborhood? Is it in a town I want? So it's actually been a lot of fun. And then, you know, we're deep in the midst of a rewatch of One Tree Hill, which is 9 seasons and who knows how many episodes. Yeah.
Cardi and Annalise are too.
Oh, love it. Love it.
Cardi will walk around. I don't want to be anything ever. Whatever.
One of the few theme songs that doesn't just get an automatic skip. Like, we still skip it most of the times, but every now and again, you let it go and you're like, oh, that's a good one.
Well, that song put asses in the seat for a while. I've watched every season of Love is Blind, and I think it's phenomenal. I think the cast of characters, one, you got to be batshit crazy to go on one of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who they're targeting because it makes good TV. I mean, this time there's a dude that I think was a legitimate sociopath. Like, he going on this show and not having, by being engaged, essentially a pseudo stepfather to a kid, and renting out an Airbnb for the entire time that he's in the show, brings the woman to the house that is the Airbnb and tries to make her believe that it's his, when everything is like completely covered and aligned. Like, even if that was true, like, you want to be with somebody who's clean, which I think is a priority for a lot of people as you get older. Like, they don't want to be with somebody who's dirty, me included. But there's a difference between being clean and being psychotic. There's like, you don't want your house looking like Dexter lives there.
Yeah.
There can be no evidence anywhere. You know, like, that's not what you want.
No, I agree with you. Have you seen those memes, though, that this generation or just our society now in general is so minimalist because of how we grew up in houses in the 90s with all the BS and clutter that was everywhere? Yes, it's really accurate. I really
like everybody
feel
had a curio cabinet with like the little country bears in it or different types of cups that you got from your great grandma. You got like a spoon collection, some thimbles, like that, just to collect in the weirdest shit. So this guy has his house like that, and I think the dude's a psycho. And so finding out that this guy's a psycho and watching how he treats people when he comes across normally, and then whenever he's not, you're like, oh, well, that's how psychopaths kind of operate. So we have these types of shows that are going, and I really believe that getting Netflix, getting a military member on the show, which is what they have reportedly done, not just a military member, not like a veteran, not like somebody that's been out like us, although I think we're way too old to be on that show, but it's an active duty lady that's going to be on the show, which I think is going to be wonderful.
I think it is too, but my question is, how did she get the green light for that?
I would bet that she's using it as like, I'm going to get out. What I would like to do is get into like show business, get into like social media. This is kind of what I aim for my career. And I would almost guarantee that it's going to be somebody from the Air Force. Like, I just don't think the Marines and Army are going to let you go like to be on TV. Like, you imagine going, like me going up to Lugo and being like, hey, First Sergeant, I need to get out. I got to go on Love is Blind on Netflix to see if I can ask somebody to marry me. He'd be like, hey there, Devil Dog. You could, I can't do the voice right
now. You can't do Lugo. Oh, man, that's too bad. Oh,
I apologize to the listener. I can't do it right now. But he would tell me just to go down to the Pink Pony Pub, to the local strip club, and find one like the norm, like the rest of the military community does.
Yeah, that makes sense though. If it's someone who's getting out and they're on terminal leave, because like I had a bunch of terminal leave saved up to where I would have had the bandwidth to go on a reality show. I just don't know if you need a sign off from your chain of command, or maybe because you're on terminal leave, you don't know. Anyway, the particulars aren't important. I think it is interesting. And you made a great point. It's going to be really cool to see a military member get married so quickly after meeting someone. It's a very novel concept. Weird.
It might actually take a long, it'll be longer than some engagement. We've seen for sure. Like absolutely will be. I think that this show too, I'm nervous for her in one big way. Because these shows like The Bachelorette, The Bachelor, Love Island, like all those shows, one thing that they all have, they absolutely pour liquor down your throat. Like from the moment that filming starts to the end. So she's going to be there. And you know that they're going to make her being an active duty military member a real part. So she's going to get liquored up. And we all know that when a military member gets liquored up or a veteran gets liquored up and you start talking to them about their service, there might be some big exaggerations that are coming your way.
Yeah.
Right?
Probably like, that's gotta be a concern. No. It has to be a concern. And you would think.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
God, I always thought about that, how it would be on a television show when there's liquor around, because on the one hand, you want to get involved, and if you're somebody who drinks socially, you don't see anything wrong with it. But then you think about, oh my God, if everybody sees and I just keep drinking, this could end poorly for everybody concerned. So you got to really monitor that. You got to mix in a lot of waters, because the last thing you want is to be.
Yeah, and they act like they don't. You know how they get around a lot of people sounding like they're super drunk? And since I've started doing the editing of the show, there's certain buttons and editing effects that you could do, like if somebody has like they do a hard P, for example, where like it's a vocal pop, you can edit those out. I think that they edit out the slur like part of the word, like they don't allow it to continue. They cut it off where it sounds like they're still speaking crisp, because go through bottles and bottles of liquor on that show. They have to be just totally fucked up. And will she be able to be charged in the UCMJ for the things that she talks about? Like if she talked about something that wouldn't, like, could she be charged?
So she's still on active duty. She absolutely could, depending on how she acts and what she does. This is brave move by this individual to go on a reality television show when you're still subject to UCMJ. Because as we all know, UCMJ, much more strict than conventional laws out there. So,
yeah. And there's a great example of that. A couple years ago, I say a couple years, probably 15 years ago when The Ultimate Fighter first started.
Yeah.
There's a dude that I worked with, and he was on active duty in the Army. And he had fought, and there's two of them actually. One of them I was in sergeant's course with, Jordan, still in the MMA field, but he did all kinds of shit, went on Ultimate Fighter. And then there's another dude that went on Ultimate Fighter. The other Army guy got into a fight in the house, not in the cage where they were supposed to, but it was like a fight in the house, and he was on video. They charged him with assault, like because they had done that. You were outside of discipline, you embarrassed the Army, and he got charged for it.
Yeah, so that's the part where I think I have to imagine somewhere along the line there was a PAO involved in this decision. I can't imagine this individual just went completely circumvented the chain of command and anybody in any sort of authority position in whatever branch that she's coming from to just do this. Because ultimately, it's going to get out that you're in the military, and it's going to get back to whatever unit you're coming from.
Well, that's the reason why you're going on the show. Yeah, you're going on the show for that reason. But also, like, now that I think about it, they're not bringing fucking PFC Winter in there to do this show. Like, they're not bringing in somebody that's an absolute shitbag, because the military wouldn't approve that. It's probably like Captain Riley Chazik that we had on the show a couple weeks ago. That's a bobsledder that is wonderfully spoken. She's attractive. She's doing all these different things the right way, speaks the right way, doesn't curse, doesn't do that.
We just had, actually, you know, lest we forget, we just had Miss America, who's an active duty lieutenant in the Air Force. So I think also maybe there's some play here. We, you know, recruiting numbers are down a little bit across DOD, and they're looking for inventive ways to reach the public to say, hey, you can do quote unquote normal things while you're in the military, like go on a reality show. And there's just enough high school kids out there who think, listen, I'm going to join the Army and it's going to be cool, because from there, I'm just going to become on the next cast of Survivor. And then that's all I'm ever going to do. So kudos to the military if they're, you know, pulling the strings behind this one and really just trying to encourage recruiting numbers to get a bump.
Yeah, last thing I'll say was a mean comment that I saw underneath the tweet that announced it. Somebody said, if you would have told me that a military member would have been on a dating show on Netflix, I would have bet $1 million there was love on the spectrum. Terrible.
That's a terrible joke. I'm sorry. That's not good.
I also saw something on military Twitter that I think is actually going to be true. That somebody in like 5 or 10 years is going to go and claim vision damage for the eclipse because it happened on active duty. Somebody's going to get their eyes being messed up because of the eclipse.
Probably. And if you need help with that claim, go to our friends at the VFW, because they'll be the ones to know the ins and outs of the legitimacy of that claim. And they'll be able to help you.
Absolutely right, Cons. That's all I have on the eclipse. Oh, overall, the eclipse, fucking boring. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just keep rotating.
The only thing the eclipse has going for it is that it just doesn't happen often. I think people are like, oh, we won't see another one for however many years. So you gotta put forth the right amount of energy and get excited about this one. I was texting, because I was actually in a meeting during the eclipse, so I don't even see it really. I just lived vicariously through people's pictures, and Alex texted me. She's like, this is kind of boring. I'm like, all right, fair enough. It is kind of boring when you really do think about it, when you break it down.
Yeah, I think when you have AI and you can do all the different things that computers can do now, the eclipse just not cool. Like, great. Mm-hmm. The sun's covered by the moon. Fucking sick. Who cares? Yeah. Bring it back out like 44 and we'll watch it again, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to the main story today.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
No, it's like a billion-year-old trick, the old eclipse. The eclipse has been happening for billions of years. Who cares? Oh, yeah. It's nothing.
That must have freaked people out, though. Like, the Mayans and Incas, like, checking it out and be like, what the fuck is this?
What's happening?
I saw another tweet that was pretty funny. Like, the Amish out there just building their barns and shit with their wooden nails, looking up, being like, oh, go get mother, it's happening.
The rapture is upon us.
Yeah. All right, so there's this dude named Ten Shi. He's a former Navy SEAL deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, South America, Pacific region, all according to his campaign. He also was the first midshipman at the U.S. Naval Academy to participate in the Army Special Operations Exchange Program and the first to graduate Army Ranger School. After graduation, he was commissioned in the Navy and completed SEAL training, and during his service, he received a Bronze Star with Valor and a Purple Heart after he was knocked unconscious by an IED blast, according to local reporting. So when you hear that, it's the start of a good fucking resume, right? Cons doesn't get a lot better than that. If you wanting to get in politics, that's a pretty good stepping stone.
And lest we forget, the American public largely doesn't understand the intricacies of the military. All they hear is, oh, you were in the military. Oh, you went to Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever you deployed. And that's like enough. They don't need to know. Like, obviously, certain people have told their stories in a lot more detail, books, movies, what have you. But by and large, the American public doesn't know the ins and outs of the military. So they hear that resume and they're like, wow, that's impressive. And that's enough.
Yeah, I think there's only four real awards that part of Americans know what they are. Medal of Honor, Silver Star, Bronze Star, and Purple Heart. I think those are the primary ones that people notice. He's checking three out of the four. Like, those are, or two out of the three, or four, excuse me. He was medically separated from active duty due to injuries in Afghanistan. He also is now the CEO of Bridger Aerospace, which I found out he sold for $300 million in profit. And he started that company the day that he got out of the Navy. Nobody knows it or where the money came from or what it, like, I was reading different articles about it. It's kind of vague about how I got it. But $300 million a couple months, a couple years after you get out, it's not nothing to shake a stick at.
I mean, it's even, could say it's ridiculous because most people won't even sniff that in their lifetime. A fraction of that. That's impressive.
Yeah, so he's running right in Montana. And he, some of the stories that he's telling is not adding up. That's the reason why we're talking about this fella today. He said, let me find it. He said, the story of him being wounded in Afghanistan conflicts with one that he told a park ranger in 2015, according to the Washington Post. On a 2015 visit to Montana's Glacier National Park, he told a park ranger that he accidentally shot himself in the right arm. 45 revolver fell and discharged while loading his vehicle in the park. He was forced to pay a $525 fine for illegally discharging his weapon in an act. So, I mean, if you can't trust a Navy SEAL not to have a negligent discharge in a park, who can you trust? Not a lot.
They're supposed to be squared away, you would
supposed
think.
Supposed to be squared away. But then more, he's that got a, it got an inquiry from the park ranger. And then he went, she told the Washington Post that he told the ranger that he had shot himself that day in order to defuse any further inquiry into the wounds Afghanistan. That to me. So when I was reading that, I was like, wait, let me go back to make sure that I'm understanding this correctly. This fella's out there just having a good old time at the park. He's hanging out. He's got a cooler, probably full of Capri Suns and Smirnoff Ices. Maybe a couple of Uncrustables are in there. He's throwing them back in. One of the Uncrustables got a leak in it. Now it's all wet, so he doesn't have a snack for the ride home. He gets upset, starts throwing his coolers in there. They're all Yeti with different stuff. There's probably that said Mulan Labe and shit on the side. Don't tread on me whenever I'm out here at the park. He's throwing everything in. It drops out, goes off, shoots himself. He's like, you got to do something to save face. Now, I understand that. Like, if I'm walking around somewhere, like when I had the air rifle, if I accidentally was holding that little air rifle pistol and it shot me in the neck and I'm bleeding, I would come up with some kind of excuse, the reason why it happened. And
yeah, you have to.
This guy coming up with an excuse, actually, I shot myself, but the bullet is still in my arm from Afghanistan. And then to think that you say that story, that the park ranger is going to be like, whoa. I'm going to need to talk to the DOD about this. It doesn't seem feasible that somebody who's a SEAL with Army Ranger training too could get shot in Afghanistan. To me, that's if a SEAL says I got shot in Afghanistan, that's 1A believable story.
Yes.
You believe that story.
1,000%. Because, you know, lest we forget, you know, special operations community by and large are seeing more combat than any other unit, just by the nature of the types of missions they're doing. So the idea that you would get shot, I would believe that on its surface 1,000 times. I would believe that.
Yeah. So he told the park ranger that he wanted to protect himself and fellow platoon mates from facing a military investigation. He said, quote, it was a small price to pay to make sure that the whole team of really great Americans didn't get dragged. What the fuck are you talking about, dude? And if you're telling the Washington Post that, to me, that's more of a reason to do an investigation,
yeah,
right? Like, if you tell somebody, I told them this so they wouldn't open up an investigation, should automatically open up an investigation.
Yeah, that is not how you avoid investigations, by blatantly saying something that requires an investigation. you know,
here's another one. And remember from the Naval Academy with the SEAL. So he is an officer. He's not an enlisted dude. He's an officer. Not that it really makes a whole lot of difference, but in terms of integrity and reporting and doing all that stuff, it does make a big difference.
It does. So
he said, quote, his campaign said, "The bullet in Tim's arm was a result of his service in Afghanistan. Tim never reported it to his higher command because he didn't want to trigger an investigation of his team, be pulled from the battlefield, and see a fellow teammate be punished." A spokesman for the campaign told Task and Purpose, "It's always been about protecting a fellow team member of his unit, and he thought it could have been responsible due to a friendly fire ricochet in the heat of engagement." Brother, if it's in the heat and it's a friendly fire, it's not friendly fire. Like, it is technically friendly fire, but it's not friendly fire like the Pat Tillman type of friendly fire. It's not the same.
Right. Like, it's just, right. It's not, it's not like someone made a deliberate mistake or gave an order that resulted in a friendly fire. So that's a little bit far-fetched. I will say, one thing I will say, the idea of doing more paperwork, because it's the officers who have to do all the paperwork following the mission. The idea that you want to avoid doing paperwork, I get that, brother. Listen, you don't want to write that out. You're like, listen, I don't need another Purple Heart. I'll just take this one on the chin. Nobody say anything about it because I don't feel like doing the report. I get it. I know what that feels like to not want to do paperwork. But other than that, it doesn't add up that he wouldn't, that he would need to feel the need to protect his teammates from something that sometimes things are unavoidable in combat. And a ricochet seems like something that's kind of unavoidable sometimes.
And it just happens. I mean, it happens all the time. Like, a ricochet happens. Like, somebody one time when I was in Quantico, they were hanging out with some other dudes from Recon, and there was a couple guys in a different platoon, and they were like, well, chaps didn't actually get shot. He got hit with a ricochet. And that they came back and told me, I was like, what the fuck difference does it make? Like, did a bullet go in and out of my arm or not? Like, who cares? And if it's a ricochet, it's even worse because it's tumbling. It's not going straight projector. So sometimes a ricochet is more dangerous than if it's just a straight through and through, because that's just a straight shot through. Like, so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, no. That's a fair, I actually never heard anyone make that distinction before. Like, did he get shot directly or was it a ricochet? Cause it wouldn't matter because the bullet still went in you. I mean, Jesus, what was the governor's name sitting in front of Kennedy? That was allegedly a ricochet. He still got injured.
Yeah. I mean, if a bullet goes in your body, in my estimation, you got shot. No matter which way you slice it. People started asking his campaign about it because he's going against Taffer, who one of the head, like, he's, I don't think there's a whole Congress that do more for veterans than Taffer from Montana does. And he's going up against this guy, and I guess he's starting to make some real pushes in. This dude has been endorsed by President Trump and a couple other high ranking Republicans. So he's getting questions. And if you're running for an office that high, there's only 100 senators. So if you're running for one of those major decision makers in the country, you got to be prepared for some tough fucking questions, right?
Well, not only tough questions, but you have to be prepared to have everything you say and your entire background scrutinized and gone through with a fine tooth comb.
And so
you better make sure that you're not telling fibs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to know that's coming.
Yeah. And so he's starting to get questioned. And this is the kind of shit that I really hate. Like, people are asking him, like, the stories aren't matching up. So telling somebody, hey, your stories aren't matching up, let's clarify things on the record. Let's do this. And so that your constituents, your possible constituents, will know what the real story is. And deep down, I don't think voters give a fuck if you did high level combat shit. Because what does that, whenever you're passing bills, what does that have to do? Like, it has nothing to do with anything except for your integrity if you're not telling the truth about it. Because Kyle, our old producer, said it on Twitter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're an air clerk, if you're an admin clerk, or if you were the best sniper in the world. You did the job that the military asked you to do at the time, and there's nothing dishonorable about serving in the role that you were required or that you were assigned to. It doesn't matter if you shot a million bullets or you didn't shoot one. There's no difference, in my opinion. So people are asking about that. And his campaign comes out and says, what'd you say? Sorry.
No, no, you're right. You shouldn't need those qualifiers to denote whether you did X, Y, or Z in combat or what your job was, because ultimately you served, and that's really all that matters.
Yeah. So his campaign said, he humbly served our nation with honor. He never called himself a hero, but served alongside them. Many of them never came home. It's no surprise that the Washington Post is trying to question his service and the fact that he sustained injuries in war, let alone need to see an x-ray confirming it. Because he's a Republican running for office, the liberal elite misinformation machine is going to great lengths to question and attack it. I just feel like that's just so fucking lazy. It's just so lazy to say that.
Yeah, that's the playbook. It's like, all right, there people are questioning, oh, must be the liberals, you know, and they can't let an American hero just be revered for what he did and take him at his word. It's like, well, no, you have people kind of contradicting what he said. And I think it's fair to ask that you get the complete story. Now, if he had shared none of this, we wouldn't be talking about it. But if you want to prop yourself up and have all these stories that you think in some way make you more qualified or a better leader, or it's going to make you a better politician, if you're going to put it out there, like we said,
especially when it's 1A, 1B of your resume, like 1A, 1B of your resume, you better be ready for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think it's an unfair question to ask if it's an accurate story. You know, before I started working at Barstool, Fox Sports, whenever I used to trick different NFL personalities, Fox Sports had me on to talk to me about like how I started doing it and like a little bit about my background. The guy writing it knew that I was a Marine, and I talked about like getting shot and like my military career, which I've talked about a shit ton of times. You know, Fox Sports asked me before I went on there, they asked me to provide documentation that I had a Purple Heart, that I had the award for valor and my DD-214 before they would run that.
I didn't actually know that. I guess on the one hand, you know, you telling them should be enough. On the other hand, I guess that's probably protocol for major networks.
I think it should be.
Questions. Yeah.
Right. Like I think if you're going to pin somebody in that light, because you've had different folks like Senator Blumenthal, like he talked about like whenever I like in the Vietnam War, where it in fact that preposition should have been during the during the war. I think that you do need to clarify like where it would have been beneficial the positive side. It would have been beneficial for John Kerry, who has 5 Purple Hearts, I believe the number is. And people were talking about him being a Swift voter, like having actual information, proving and documenting what you had is good on both sides. Like it shows that one, I'm not lying. And two, these are the things that I've actually done. I don't, not for a sports article, but for like, if you're going to go to Congress, that should be fair game. Yes. Everything should be fair game.
Yes. And ultimately the crux of this is not, what did you do in combat? It's, are you telling the truth or are you making up stories to inflate who you are and trying to get yourself elected that way? That's all that matters. I don't care what the details really are of the story. If you were some, you know, hot shot, I'd be like, oh, okay, well, awesome. That's great that you did all those things, but are you telling the truth? That's really all it comes down to.
Yeah, I agree totally. So we obviously don't know if he's lying, and honestly I don't give a shit if he is or not. Like, just tell the truth, be out there, and take the questions. The biggest thing I would say, take the questions. Like, even if you feel the questions are disrespectful, you feel like the questions are like bad motives, brother, you're trying to be a senator. Take the and stand up there and answer the hard ones. That's part of it.
Yeah, because if you can't handle these questions, what's going to happen when, you know, you're faced with some really hard decisions if elected? Are you going to crumble then too? So I agree with you. Just, you got to stand in the arena.
Like the idea of having to be like, hey, they're fucking SEAL Ranger guy, are you going to melt under pressure? I mean, really, that's all he has to say. Like, you don't even have to, like, you could just go out there. He could post his little like pictures of himself in his uniform, and that's all you need. Like, if he went out there with his Valor Award, with his Bronze Star, with the V, his Purple Heart, and he's in his dress blues with the fucking Navy SEAL pin above everything. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say anything else about your service. No. Like you just
at all. At all.
Like that's like checking the box right there. All right, I can't talk for much longer. So let's move on to Saber. We got.
We had Maggie baptized this weekend, and being that this was my first child for first baptism, I was surprised at how many people said congratulations to me. I didn't think this was like a congratulations type event, but I guess it kind of is. I'm very appreciative that people said that, but I didn't realize that was a thing you said to somebody when their child got baptized.
I think it's if you say congratulations if everybody's dressed up and you're not at a funeral. Like okay. no matter what.
Good barometer. I like that. I like that.
It's an event for you or your family and everyone's dressed up and you're not at a funeral. I think you're good.
All right. Congratulations. All right, cool. Well, thank you to everybody who said so. That was very nice. It was a very nice very nice weekend. And then big day as with this will be out on Wednesday. Big event for you. Yeah. And what you're participating in, and I'll let you get into details about that. But this is the first time that ZBT is being represented in a golf event. And yeah. I mean, I just say it like we got to come and do well. We don't want to be embarrassed. So what's the event and how are you feeling about it?
Yeah. So we have 34 different content makers at Barstool that are going to be doing a mini golf tournament. Like they've been setting it up for, it seems like a fucking month. It was, that process has been an abomination to the Lord, but we're going to have people that are in there trying to raise your hand as the best mini golfer. And the course looks decently hard, not like crazy hard, but there's some really good golfers in there. Like Kirk Minahan's a great putter. Ryan Whitney's a great golfer. All the four play guys are all pretty good golfers. I think even Trent's a good putter. Like, one of the strengths of his game now is that he's a good putter. So there's a lot of Francis is a good, he's good at golf. Like there's a lot of people at the company that are good at golf, but it is mini golf. I think that the best advantage I could possibly have is learning how to do a sneaky ambush. Like where maybe I'll see lines that other people won't and feel like area. Go ahead and insert myself and then egress out of certain little situations that I might need to as well. But overall, I look at the field. If I don't finish at least top 15, I'll be upset. I think I got to make the
okay.
cut. Like I think if you're going to a major, your first goal on day one and day two is make it above the cut line. If I can make it above, if I can get to Sunday, anybody has a chance. And you better believe I'm wearing red if I'm in the finals on Sunday. I'm going Tiger red.
All right. So making the cut is ultimately the goal, and anything beyond that is extra. But we want to make the cut is the ultimate goal.
We want to be invited back next year. That's the goal.
Okay. All right. I like that. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to watching that. So. Good luck to you and play well. I will say this one thing about mini golf that doesn't irk me, but it's like, yes, all those people you mentioned are good golfers and good putters, but you could also be someone that doesn't play golf at all, but you can putt. Like I think it's the one skill in golf that's kind of like an equalizer. You don't need to be playing golf regularly on the weekends to be able to compete in a mini golf competition. You know, certainly I suspect it will come down to the guys who play golf regularly. That always bothered me about mini golf. And I'll say it. Hey, listen, I'll say it. I've lost to my wife before in mini golf. You go to some of these courses and they're wacky. And it doesn't matter if you play golf all the time because the course is built. Yeah, so it's you know, but I think ultimately you'll do well, and I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good time. And if not, that's okay too.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, I think it's different if you go out there and you have like a long driver closest to the pin. You're gonna have to be a good golfer to do that. Mm-hmm. This is not that. So it evens the playing field across the board, which I like too. And all those personalities together, good God.
Yeah. That's what we're there for is the content. I don't really care how people putt. I'm there for the people flipping out and then the content that will come out of that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't have anything this week. Kate will be back next week. We'll see you then. Silent Retreat.